أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. صلوات. My respected elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before I start on today's subject, I just wanted to mention a couple of things following on from yesterday. Yesterday we spoke about those vices and those destructive traits that we have. And we gave the example of how they're like nails in wood. The more they have gone into the wood, the harder it is to pull them out again. So we may have got worried about these vices that we all have. When we think about them, we may have quite a few here and there. But it's nothing to despair if we cannot remove them immediately. Because imagine taking a nail out from the wood again. If we just rip it out, it's going to damage the wood. So it has to be eased out gently. So this is something that is done gradually over time. Just like losing weight. You know, you're not going to lose all your pounds after 1 week in the gym. It's going to take a while. The same thing goes with these vices and destructive traits. It takes a while for us to get rid of them. But the idea is that we start working on them as soon as possible. Another thing I wanted to mention is, we were talking after the majlis with some brothers about these sayings that I've been using from like Christians or, you know, other people, non-Muslims. And I just wanted to share this with everybody. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Al-hikmatu dalatul mu'min," that wisdom is the lost property of the believer. "Fatlubuha walau 'inda al-mushrik takun ahlaha wa ahaqq biha." He says, so seek wisdom even from a polytheist, because you are more deserved of it and more worthy of it. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says the same thing. Al-hikmatu, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, al-hikmatu dhalatul mu'min. Wisdom is the lost property of the believer. So seek it even min ahlin nifaq, from the hypocrites, he says. He's not saying take their ideology, take their belief. But he's saying wisdom, wherever you hear it, take it. Because it's like our lost property. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Undur ila ma qil wa laysa man qal." Look at what is being said, not at who is saying it. So this is why the mu'min, Islam is so beautiful, allows us to take wisdom wherever we find it. And this is fantastic. In fact, the believer, everything he sees, he should take lesson from. Another riwayah we have is, "Al-mu'min idha nadhara abara." That if the believer sees something, he takes a lesson from it. Anything he sees. So this is the beauty of Islam, and that wisdom is everywhere for us to take wherever we may find it. Please recite the salawat. Now, we've been talking about this spiritual warrior, and this fuel that drives the spiritual warrior is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoke about, in order to love Allah, we have to know Him. And we looked at certain ways, the real true knowledge, if we want to truly know Allah, it's here within us. Locked there as a treasure. And we have to unlock it through reflection. We looked at reflection. Now, there's something though, which we have to tackle as well, which may be a hindrance for us in knowing Allah and loving Him. The way we are talking about this intense love in the Holy Quran. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. There's a hindrance there as well, which we have to discuss. In the Holy Quran there's a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ, that Allah says, Allah hasn't put two hearts in the breast of man. He's only put one. When we look at the riwayat, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَحُبُّ اللَّهِ لَا يَجْتَمِعَانْ فِي قَلْبٍ أَبَدًا, that the love and attachment to this world and love and attachment to Allah cannot be combined in the same heart ever, the Prophet says. There's a beautiful saying Allah says to Isa alayhi salam. He says, Ya Isa, la yumkin lisanan fi famin wahid. He says, it's not possible to have two tongues in one mouth. And then he goes on to say, wala qalban fi sadrin wahid. And it's not possible to have two hearts in one chest. When we look again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, alaysa Allahu bikafin abda? He's asking us a question. Is Allah not sufficient for His servant? So Allah is indicating here to us that the heart, and we looked at those riwayat a few days back, that the heart is the treasure house of Allah, that nothing can contain Allah, the heavens and the earth can't, but the heart of the believer can. The heart is the throne of Allah. So we see here that Allah is saying, this is my place, man. You know, this is my place. It's just for me. But we allow something else to enter this place. Now there's even other riwayat, I won't go into them, but they say that it's like the proportion of our love for Allah decreases as our love and attachment to this world increases. So it's an inversely proportional relationship. The more we love, the more we are attached to this world, the less we are attached to Allah. And the less we can taste this intense love that we so now are eager to taste and experience. But there's this hindrance, and we have to discuss this hindrance because we all want to succeed, inshallah. So, looking back to our discussion here about this knowing Allah and loving Allah, etc., we looked at the hadith where the Prophet said that إِذَا الْعَبْدِ عَرَفَ اللَّهِ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ أَحَبَّهُ, that if a servant knows his Lord, he loves him. Now I didn't tell you the other part of the hadith the other night, because it wasn't relevant to our discussion on that night. But it continues. And he says, وَإِذَا عَرَفَ الدُّنْيَا زَهِدَ فِيهَا, and if he truly knows this world and its reality, he will become detached from it in his heart. We're not talking about becoming hermits and leaving everything. We're talking about detachment in the heart. The criteria is the heart here, remember. The seat of Allah is the heart. The seat of where we allow this dunya to come in is the heart. So he's saying the one who truly knows his Lord will love him. And the one who truly knows this world will start detaching from it. So let's just do this as a reminder for ourselves, because you know Allah says in the Holy Quran, فَذَكِّرْ, remind. فَإِنَّ فَعْتِ الذِّكْرَ, for verily reminding is of profit and of benefit. It's healthy for us to look at these things again, even though we may know it conceptually and theoretically. In the Holy Quran, Allah says in so many places, and I'm sure we're all aware of this, and He discusses the nature of this world. And He talks about how deceptive it is for us. He says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, don't allow this world to deceive you, he says. Now you and I, because we are naturally, you know, we live in this kind of society, there's always these things rub onto our hearts like rust. So we need to chisel this rust off. If we haven't looked at ourselves in a long time, we're going to need a chisel, because there's a thick layer of rust there. But then from time to time, when we go into our solitude, reflect, gather ourselves together, re-strategize, it just needs a blow, and the dust is removed and the rust is removed. But the first time may need chiseling. So this is to Allah. Allah is reminding us all the time in the Holy Quran. Again, He says, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ, that this world is like a sport and a play. وَزِينَةٌ, and it has been beautified and embellished for you. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. And it's something that people find something to boast about, their power or position or wealth or whatever. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. And it's like accumulation of wealth and children. Allah is saying this is how the deceptive nature of this world deceives us. So that's from the Holy Quran. From riwayat, there are so many riwayat. You know, this is like another one of those hunger kind of things where it's all there so much in such great depth that there are books on this. But obviously I just want to share with you a few drops of this ocean. Again, for us to serve for us as a reminder. Now, if there's anybody who's destroyed the reputation of this world, it's Imam Ali alayhi salam. I'm sure when you all read Nahjul Balagha, one of the most common themes of Nahjul Balagha from Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he talks to you and me, and he talks to our hearts when Imam Ali alayhi salam talks, is he reminds us of the nature and the deceptive element of this world. He says, by Allah, this world of yours is worse in my eyes than the sweat of a pig in the palm of a leper. I mean, how much can you degrade something, you know? The sweat of a pig, something which is ainun najis by its essence, in the palm of a leper, who's somebody who's diseased. You know, other things Imam Ali al-Islam says, it's like the chewed morsel of a camel that's been spat out. The deceptive nature of this world he's talking about. Not this. Now, in Arabic, when we hear dunya, we're not talking about the world, like the mountains and the trees and the earth. We're talking about this materialism, the thing that deceives us and is glimmer and glitter and makes us lick our lips and get attached to from now and then. Now, again, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam says, now this is such a beautiful thing here. Listen to this. I mean, the description is just too good. He says, مَثَلَ الدُّنْيَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَّةِ. He says, the example of the dunya, the example of this the deceptive thing, is like that of a snake. Like a snake. How? مَسُّهَا لَيِّنٌ وَفِي جَوْفِهَا أَسَّمٌ. That to touch the snake is something very smooth and soft and silky. But inside, in its depths, is a poison that will kill you. Then he says, يَحْذَرُهَا الرِّجَالُ ذُو الْأُقُولُ. That those people who possess intellect will stay away because they know, even though this thing is soft and smooth and silky, inside there's that poison. So they will be precautious and cautious with this thing. وَيَهْوِ إِلَيْهَا الصِّبْيَانُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. But a child, because of will like the smoothness of the snake, it doesn't know what this contains. It'll just go and touch the snake. Now, here we see Imam is looking, there's an external aspect to this, and there's an internal aspect to this. Now, this goes back to the names of Allah. Again, we go back to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in Dua Kumail, what do we say? Every Thursday night, Dua Kumail, you know, we read this Dua every Thursday night. Each verse is so deep. You know, in the beginning we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka, O Allah, we ask you, bi asma'ika allati mala'at arkana kulli shay. By your names, O Allah, we ask you. And these names of yours have filled the cornerstones of existence. So Allah's names have been manifested in existence. This is what we're saying in Dua Kumail. So when you look, and this is what we mean in the Holy Quran when it says in the Holy Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. That wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. Because He's manifested His names in existence. So what this means, I'll give you an example. When we look at a mountain, we are seeing the strength, manifestation of the strength of Allah. Al-Qawi. When we look at the sky, it's something that's high. So we're looking at one of the names of Allah, manifestation of His name, Al-Ali, the All-High. When we look at the ocean and water, we're looking at a manifestation of the name of Allah, Al-Hayy, the ever-living, because life came from water. So now also, two of the names of Allah are Al-Zahiru and Al-Batin. Al-Zahiru means the outward, the open, the manifest. And Al-Batinu means the inward, the concealed, the hidden. So everything in existence, because he's filled his names in through all creation, there's an inward aspect and an outward aspect. And the outward aspect of these, the glitter and the glamour of the dunya is something that may look very nice. But the inward aspect of it, the manifestation of al-batinu, is something that is very dangerous for us if we attach ourselves to it. And also this zahir and batin, just out of interest, Allah has created men, in the manifestation of a zahir, because his responsibility is to go out and earn for his family, provide security for his family. And a woman, he's created in the manifestation al-batinu, somebody who is inward, concealed, very special, like a fruit. You look at the fruit, the outward aspect of the fruit is the zahir of it, the outward of it. And what does it do for the inward fruit, the seed? It protects it. It provides security for it. But the inward is something very special. It's like a treasure. And this is why, by the very nature of a woman, the hijab is there. Because she's something very special, like a treasure. She's not there, a treasure is not there just for everybody. It's something very special. And this is how the relationship between man and woman, through Allah's wisdom, is there. That man is a protective provider of security and comfort for that treasure. Just something interesting there for us to look at and understand. So this is one hadith about Imam, from Imam Qadim alayhi salam, about the dunya. Now another one from Imam Qadim alayhi salam. If you look at this, this is like, just hits the nail on the head, you know. All of these really do, but this one is, I like this one, you know. He says here, مَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا مَثَلُ الْبَحَرِ. The parable of this world is like that of the ocean, the sea. He says, كُلَّمَا شَرِبَ مِنْهُ الْعَطَشَانِ, you know, كُلَّمَا شَرِبُ مِنْهُ الْعَطَشَانِ أَزْدَادَ عَطْشًا حَتَّى يَقْتُلَ. He says, it's like the ocean. This dunya is like the sea water. The more the thirsty person goes to drink that sea water, the more his thirst increases. Because the sea water is salt, as salt. And salt increases our thirst. So the more we drink from it, the more we get thirsty. And because of the high salt content, it will kill us. So this is again showing us the nature of this deceptive world, which is preventing us from the intense love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we attach ourselves to it. Now here another very interesting one from Nabi Isa alayhi salam. It says, Nabi Isa, the world came to him in a dream, maybe manifested as a woman, okay, as a woman who was blue-eyed. Okay, the blue-eyed thing is supposed to attract us, okay. So the world came to Nabi Isa alayhi salam as a woman with blue eyes. So Nabi Isa says to her, Kam tazawwajti? He says, how many have you married? So the woman says, فَقَالَتْ كَثِيرٌ. She says, a lot. Too many. Then Nabi Isa asks her, فَكُلٌ طَلَّقَكِ? Because she's on her own now. So he's saying, so have they all these you that you have married, have they divorced you? So she says, قَالَتْ لَا بَلْ كُلًّا قَتَلْتُ. No, rather all of them I killed. Then قَالَ الْمَسِيحِ, Isa alayhi salam says to her, فَوَيْحٌ لِأَزْوَاجِكِ الْبَاقِينَ. So woe upon those partners that you still have, those people who still marry you. كَيْفَ لَا يَعْتَبِرُونَ الْمَاضِينَ. How can they not take a lesson from those who have gone before? So here, I don't even need to explain these, they're so clear. And there's so many like this. So this is one aspect, when we look at the riwayat about this dunya, it's like this. It deceives us. We attach ourselves to it. And we see from examples in this world, in history, the result of this kind of attachment. But for us, we're concerned here as spiritual warriors, that it takes the place of Allah in our heart. And as we increase in this, our love for Allah decreases. As we move further to the west, we go further away from the east. Now, when we also look at the riwayat, actually before I move on to that, I just want to share with you a story, you know. We all like stories. There's one guy, he's walking through the jungle, you know, smelling the flowers and, you know, taking in the breeze and all this. But suddenly he hears these footsteps thumping behind him. So he turns around and he sees there's a lion and it's coming towards him. So he runs. He bolts, man. He bolts and he reaches this well. When he sees this well, the only way he can save himself is to get into the well. So he gets into the well. You know, the wells, they have these ropes and a bucket is attached to the rope. So he gets attached onto the rope and he goes down into the well. Now, when he gets into the well, he looks down at the bottom and he sees a serpent lying there at the bottom of the well. What a predicament, eh? And the serpent's got its mouth wide open. So if he goes down, he's dead. If he goes back out, he's dead. So what does he do? So he's hanging on for his life, clinging to this rope. But then, this predicament gets even worse, brothers and sisters. He looks up, there's two mice, one black one and one white one, gnawing at this rope, slowly. So he's now even in a worse situation. So he's just holding on. So what he does now, he tries to get these mice, you know, shift them off the rope. So he starts swinging the rope from side to side. And as he's swinging the rope from side to side, he suddenly finds there's something sticky which is caught onto his hand. So he looks, and you know, the guy tastes it. He tastes what's this sticky substance. And it turns out to be honey. Oh, so sweet honey. So what he does, he goes back to where this honey was, and he starts to taste and eat this honey. Till he forgets the situation and predicament that he's in. And then boom, he wakes up. What a dream. So he decides to go and see a sheikh, a scholar, find out what this dream means. So the sheikh, when he hears this, he starts to laugh. He says, well, that lion was Malakul Maut, the angel of death, always behind you. He says, that well and that serpent is like your grave. And then he says, that rope is your life that you're clinging onto. And those two mice, black and white, are night and day, slowly gnawing away at your life as they pass. And then he says, he's shocked. And then he says, so what about the honey? He says, ah, the honey. He says, that's the sweetness, deceptive nature of this world which distracted you. And you totally forgot the situation that you were in. You forgot what was there and what was chasing you. So this is the nature of this world. And the Quran reminds us about this so much. The Imams and the Prophets have reminded about it so much. So we do not attach ourselves to it. Now there's another aspect and another flip side to these riwayat. Let's have a look at that. The Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, Ni'mal Aun. He says, Ni'mal Aun ad-dunya ala al-akhirah. The best aid for the hereafter is this dunya. There's nothing better than this dunya to help us for this akhirah. The Prophet said, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah," that this world is the plantation ground for the hereafter. This is where we have the opportunity for the hereafter. Somebody comes to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he rationally, this guy, as was cursing the world rationally, you know. Imam Ali knew this man really wasn't like that, the way he was cursing this world. So Imam said to him, "Keep quiet." He said, "Inna dunya daru sidqin liman sadaqaha," that this world, don't insult it, he's telling him. He's saying, this world is a place of truth for the one who takes the truth from it. Wa daru afiyatin liman fahima anha, and he said, it's a place of well-being for the one who understands it. Wa daru ghinan liman tazawwada fiha aw minha, and it is a place of wealth for the one who takes provision from it. وَدَارُ مَوْعِذَةٍ لِمَنِ اتَّعَذَ بِهَا, and it is a place of admonition for the one who takes warning and lesson from it. Then he says, مَسْجِدُ أَحِبَّاءِ اللَّهِ, this world is the place where the lovers of Allah do their worship. and prostrate. وَمُصَلَّى مَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ. And this is the place where the angels pray. وَمَحْبِتَ وَحْيِ اللَّهِ. And this is the place where revelation has come down. وَمَتْجَرِ أَوْلِيَا. This is so beautiful. وَمَتْجَرِ أَوْلِيَا إِلَّهِ. And this is the trading stock market of the friends of Allah. اِكْتَسَبُوا فِيهَا الرَّحْمَةِ وَرَبِحُوا فِيهَا الْجَنَّةِ. They have attained mercy in this world. And they have attained as their prophet paradise. So Imam is looking also at this. The prophets and the Imam looked at this aspect of the world too. So we have to bring these two things together. Now as I said, all this is a reminder. We may already know this, but it's important for us to be reminded of this thing. Now just with regards to this subject, just one hadith which puts these things together. Imam Kadhim says, allocate for yourselves a portion of the world by taking from it what is lawful of what you desire. And that which is not, do not breach the honorable virtues, and do not be extravagant. And in this way, use it to assist and improve your religion. If we are working in this society especially, to improve the image of Islam, to be successful because it promotes a good image for Islam, it's good. We are actually working for the hereafter. We're not working for this world. We just have to be aware that it doesn't attach to our hearts. And then he says, for it has been narrated that the one who abandons their worldly affairs for religion is not from us. The one who just leaves the worldly affairs, Imam is saying, he's not from us. And neither is the one who abandons their religion for the world. So Islam is about the balance. Surat al-Mustaqim. Neither this or that, but the middle way. So this was just to see about this dunya. And how Allah has said that it can take up that space which belongs to me in the heart of my beloved believer. Please recite the salawat. Now, you may be thinking, okay man, this dunya, you've just hit it on me, you know. So what am I supposed to do if I have certain attachments? We all have certain attachments to this dunya. How are we supposed to move away and slowly chip away these attachments? What are we supposed to do? Well, you know, in that verse of Quran, Allah says that it is a takathur, a multiplication, something that we gather and collect in this world. Well, in there's also another verse in the Holy Quran, Al-Hakumu takathur, hatta azurtumul maqabir. That multiplication and gathering and accumulating has taken your time until you go to the graves. When we remember death and we contemplate on death, which is another favorite subject of Imam Ali alayhi salam, but we don't like this subject. No, we don't like these subjects, do we? Listening, getting reminded about this dunya, remembering death, because they hit us with the reality of where we are. So one way is to contemplate and remember that we will leave this world very soon. Now Imam Ali alayhi salam once goes, he was passing through the graveyard with his companions, and he stops and he starts speaking to the people of the grave. He says, oh you people, where are your homes now? Your houses have been inhabited by others. Your wives have been married. Your spouses have been married by others. He's telling them. And then he says to his companions that if you were to hear what they reply to me, they would say that فَتَزَوَّدُوا فَخَيْرَ الزَّادِ فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That take provision, for verily the best provision is taqwa. This is what the people of the graves who have passed us already would tell us, if we could hear what they could say to us. So this taqwa thing which we hear all the time, man, don't we? Taqwa, taqwa, you know, taqwa. We should have taqwa, the muttaqeen. What is this taqwa? You know, when we look at taqwa, in actual fact, it's a spiritual state that we attain, which is like an immunization. You know, when we have a vaccine to immunize us from certain disease, taqwa is a vaccine which immunizes us from being attached to this, immunizes us from committing sin. This is what taqwa actually is. Taqwa, sometimes people say, oh, it's restraining. It's not restraining. It's like having a vaccine with you. In actual fact, we've looked at the spiritual warrior. Spiritual warrior also needs armor. He cannot just go into battle in his t-shirt. He needs armor. He needs a shield. The shield is taqwa. Taqwa actually means, comes in from Arabic, wiqaya. Wiqaya means a defense. So taqwa is a defense for us. An immunization. Something that protects us. Now in the Holy Quran again, ample taqwa, ample everywhere you read, isn't it? But you know, something that Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amuli, one of the great scholars who's still alive today, he's produced something very beautiful, which unfortunately I do not have here in front of me. But he's looked and brought all the verses of taqwa and shown you the fruits of this taqwa. In actual fact, Allah talks about taqwa in many different ways. One thing he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah loves those who have taqwa. Again, he says, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهَ, that have taqwa, have this shield, this protection, and Allah will teach you. Allah will teach you. That's such a powerful verse. Then he says again, the one who has taqwa, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, the one who has taqwa, Allah will open a way for him or her. Whenever they're looking for something, they need help, Allah will open that way. And He will وَيَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and He will provide from them sustenance from a place that they will never even expect that it will come from there. So the Quran is replete with taqwa. Now, how, as I said, how can we work to attain this taqwa that we're talking about? Well, I don't know if you remember, but on the second night, when I shared with you the advice of our, that spiritual discipline is through that controlling the amount we eat and drink, I said that those three advices that Imam Sadiq al-Islam gave from that hadith, Unwan al-Basri, and I said I wish that we could spend time and go over this entire thing. Well, the first part of this hadith is where Imam actually talks about taqwa. Unwan comes and he asks the Imam, he says, Imam, teach me. So Imam says to him, now this is very important here. He says that, لَيْسَ الْإِلْمِ بِالتَّعَلُّمِ, that knowledge is not just through reading books. بَلْ هُوَ نُورٌ يَقْذِفُهُ اللَّهُ فِي قَلْبِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَ, rather it is a noor. Knowledge is a noor where Allah places it in the heart of the one whom He wishes to guide. So obviously you're listening to this and you're thinking, well man, how do I attain this noor? So this is the same thing Unwan asks the Imam. The Imam says to him, through haqiqatul ubudiyah, through true servitude, can you attain this kind of knowledge, which is a light in the heart. So then Unwan asks the Imam, well, what's true servitude? And this is where we come to what we need for our discussion. The Imam tells him three things. He says three things. Number one, this is true servitude. And this is taqwa. He says, number one, see that Allah is the true possessor. That everything you have, realize that Allah is the real possessor. He says, number two, realize that Allah is the true planner. Yes, you plan and you do your best, but when it doesn't go to your way, realize that Allah is the true planner. And number three, he says, occupy yourself in that which Allah has commanded you to do, and refrain from that which He has asked you to stay away from. And the Imam explains then why he says these three things. He says, the first thing, if we realize that Allah is the true possessor, he says it will be easy, Imam says it will be very easy for us to give in the way of Allah. Because we see that everything we truly have doesn't really belong to us in that sense, if Allah is the real possessor. He says, if we realize that Allah is the true planner, all the tribulations and calamity that we face in this world and tests become easy, because you know that Allah is the one writing your plans. And then he says, if you always occupy yourself in what Allah has commanded you to do and stay away from what He has forbade you, then he says, everything, shaitan cannot touch you, attachment to this world cannot affect you. You become a master of everything. And he says, then the Imam says, and he says, this is the first stage of taqwa. So this is taqwa. To formulate this kind of outlook in ourselves, formulate this kind of ideology, which will then formulate that armor and that shield for us as spiritual warriors as we move along on this path. So in reality, if we look at it, it's making us realize that Allah is present all the time. That this world is the arena of Allah. And He is there with us wherever we are. Now moving on from this, there's a very interesting incident which happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Somebody comes up to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and says to him, "Oh Imam, ana rajulun asin. I am a man who is always disobeying Allah." And he says to him, he says, "Wala asbir anil ma'siyah." And I don't have the ability to prevent myself from committing sins. Fa'izni maw'idatan. And he says, "So please Imam, give me some advice. You know, I'm somebody who just, I commit sins, I can't help it, you know. Give me some advice to help me stop sinning." It's a very simple example, but it's very beautiful when we think about it. So Imam says to him, he says, "If al-khamsat ashya, wadhnib ma shi'at." He says, "Do 5 things, and then you can sin as much as you want." This is what the Imam tells him. "Do 5 things, and then boy, you're home free." This is what he says. So he says, "Fa'awwalu dhalik." So the first of these, Imam is telling him, لا تأكل رزق الله لا تأكل رزق الله واذنب ما شئت. Don't take from the sustenance of Allah, and then you can sin as much as you want. Now we all know, obviously, there's no way we can't take sustenance except from Allah. Then he says, والثاني, number 2, اخرج من ولاية الله واذنب ما شئت. Leave the kingdom of Allah, then you can go and sin as much as you want. What do we say in Dua Kumail every Thursday night? وَلَا يُمْكِنُ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ حُكُومَتِكَ. Oh Allah, it's not possible to escape from your governance. The third thing, وَالثَّالِثِ أُطْلُبْ مَوْضِعًا لَا يَرَاكَ اللَّهُ وَاذْنِبْ مَا شِئْتِ. He says, find a place where Allah does not see you, then sin as much as you want. In the Holy Quran, هُوَ مَعْكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. That He is with you wherever we are, wherever you are, Allah says, I'm with you wherever you are. Now that's something for us to beware of and something for us to enjoy, because our beloved is with us wherever we are. There's a dichotomy in that. The fourth thing, والرابع, إِذَا جَاءَ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ لِيَقْبِضَ رُوحَكَ فَادْفَعْهُ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ وَاذْنِبْ مَا شِئْتِ. If مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ, good old Israel, the angel of death, when he comes to take your soul, send him away and then sin as much as you want. You know, just on this point, there's a really interesting anecdote which I have to share with you. You may have heard all this, you may have all heard this before. Rumi narrates this in the Mathnawi. He says, at the time of Prophet Suleiman, alayhi salam, this guy comes up to Prophet Suleiman. Suleiman's in the town, you know, just hanging around with his disciples. And this guy comes, look, with a shock on his face, comes to Prophet Suleiman and he says, Prophet Suleiman. So he says, what's the matter? And he says, I've just saw Malakul Maut. And he looked at me with anger. He says, I'm really scared. He says, send me, you have the power of the wind, send me to India. You know, I'm worried. So Nabi Suleiman says, you know, calm down. He says, please. He begs him. So Nabi Suleiman orders the winds and summons the wind to send this bloke to India. Next day, Nabi Suleiman's hanging around with his disciples again in town, and Malakul Maut comes around. So Suleiman asks him, he says, Malakul Maut, Israel, yesterday I saw this man. He was very disturbed. Why did you look at him? He said, you looked at him with anger. Why? And he says, you know what? I didn't look at him with anger. I looked at him in absolute surprise. He said, you know, Allah had told me to take the soul of this guy in the afternoon in India. And I'm seeing this guy standing right here. You see? So there's no escape from our mate Israel. So, that's the fourth thing Imam says to this guy. The fifth, والخامس, إِذَا أَدْخَلَكَ مَالِكْ فِي النَّارِ فَلَا تَدْخُلْ فِي النَّارِ وَذْلِمْ مَا شَيْتِ. If the owner of the doors of hell starts to throw you into hell, then don't go in. And then you can sin as much as you want. So obviously Imam here is trying to inculcate that the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overpowering wherever we are. And this is something that all of us in our day-to-day lives, when we're sitting there in our exams, when we're in the middle of a transaction at work, whatever we're doing, that we should be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us in a way to stop us from committing that sin. And on the flip side, and the better side, to be with our love, our beloved all the time. Please recite the salawat. This is all encompassed in one verse of the Holy Quran, and some of the mystics say that if you just keep this one verse of the Holy Quran in mind, it is enough. In Surah Al-Alaq, Surah number 96, we says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah is always watching? They say if we recite this verse to ourselves regularly and keep this in mind, it is enough. Now what do we see on Ashura? Imam Hussein alayhi salam, complete example of having the presence of Allah with him, being aware of it, manifesting it in his words, every way of the day. You know, when his companions passed away, what did he say? He says, Allahumma innaka tara ma yusna'u biwaladin nabiyik. He says, oh Allah, you verily I swear to you that you see and you witness everything that they are doing to the son of your prophet. When his baby, Ali Asghar, is martyred in his hand, when his palms are covered in the blood of his own 6-month-old baby, what does he do? He turns his hand to the sky and he says, هَوَّنَ عَلَيَّ مَا نَزَلَ بِي أَنَّهُ بِعَيْنِ اللَّهِ. He says, what has happened to me? Everything, even this, has become easy for me to take, to bear, because it is being witnessed by you, O Allah. Because you are the witnesser of everything that happens on this day, I am able to bear it. So it is Imam's awareness and the being aware of the presence of Allah everywhere made it possible for him to bear those tribulations on that day. So my brothers and sisters, today we looked and we saw that yes, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the place of it is the heart of the believer, but that thing which can stop that love of Allah and distance us is the attachment and love of this world. So we need to work with taqwa and being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to scrape off that rust of our attachment to this world, so that we can allow the true love of Allah in its fullest capacity to enter into our hearts. So let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to move in this direction, so that we truly become those who are shadidul hub and ashaddu hubban lillah, as He describes His believers in the Holy Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ahsantum Abbas, if there's any questions from the sisters or the brothers, can we take them now? Can we start with any questions from the sisters?
Alaykum salam. Thank you very much for your speech. Abbas, could you give us a sort of a definition of the bad sense of this world? I mean, is it just things that distract you from Allah's remembrance? Because if it's that, it can even be bad things like calamities and things like that.
It's a good question. What comes to mind straight away is there's levels of distraction, you see. We have to progress to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the moment, most of us are distracted by, you know, the materialism, you know, the wealth, maybe the power, maybe the positions. In some way, I'm not saying we're all like Pharaoh, you know. We have something there within us which distracts us and takes the place of Allah. And the way to judge is the way it affects our intentions when we do things. Sometimes we do things, it may not be solely for Allah. We may be seeking something else in doing that action, be it good or whatever, you know. But basically, for us to look at it at the moment, is that thing basically which we can define as materialism and attachment to that. It doesn't mean that we can't have and certain things. It is that, as I said, the criteria is in the heart just doesn't mean, look at Nabi Sulaiman. Nabi Sulaiman was a king. He had the dunya at his feet. He had, you know, harems, he had everything. Horses, whatever you want to say, he had everything. But yet he is known to be somebody who was not attached to this world. So the criteria is in the heart. And literally attachment to the materialism at the moment, that's how we should look at it.
Questions from the sisters?
Sorry, just to add something to this while everybody's thinking. We can use the resources. Using the resources is nothing wrong at all. In order to progress, as I said, Islam, work hard in this society. We are able to do that. That's not a problem. But the key is that we do not attach ourselves to that thing. And there's a verse in the Holy Quran which gives a very nice criteria for that. It says, Allah says, so that you may not regret and be upset when something leaves you. And you may not, and you don't get extremely happy when something comes to you. It's in Surah Al-Hadid, that verse. So this is something where we can allow that. Can we apply this to ourselves? And if not, this is something that we need to be moving towards. And just with this thing, I think it's very important for me to mention, is that Allah doesn't want necessarily need expect to see all of us superhuman muttaqeen when we go back to Him. Because it's not going to happen for every single person. But what He wants to see is that we're striving, that we're all trying. Allah says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. That upon you is a striving, a hard striving till you meet Him. So even if we leave this world and we're 3/4 of the way there or 1/10 of the way there, but we've been striving in our own capacity, Allah, that's what He wants to see from us. So I think that's important to mention as well in this matter too.
Sheikh, the hadith that you quoted from two imams about that we can take knowledge from the hypocrites as well, or atheists. Now I think this has to be practiced with caution, a lot of caution, because say in the matter of secular knowledge, we take it from anybody, but, so it will probably not affect our personal religious beliefs. But in the matter of religion, for example, I think at a very young age, we may get persuaded by a sweet tongue of somebody else whose beliefs are different, but he speaks in such a way that we sort of gradually gets involved or persuaded by what he's saying, and then may drift us from our own true beliefs. I think so. This has to be understood within a certain context of. I don't know what comments you have.
Yeah, I was talking about that with reference to, for example, the quotations and like reading from yesterday, Paul Brunton and things like that. But we mentioned the hadith says al-hikmah. Hikmah is different to just knowledge. Hikmah is something which, wisdom is something which, if you know, comes to the heart. Now, we obviously, when we see this, we compare it to what we have from the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. If it matches, then obviously it's something that we can take. Remember, always our criteria, firstly is the Holy Quran. Following on from that is the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt. If this person is saying something which conflicts, then we leave it. Even hadith, if it conflicts with the Holy Quran, hadith says, throw it to the wall. So always we have to measure up with our criteria, and our criteria is the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt.
I accept that to a point, because I mean, not everybody is so well versed with all these. I mean, most of us just hear on a day-to-day basis, and we try to understand and make judgments from there. I mean, very few are fortunate enough, like you, for example, are able to analyze hadith in different ways and understand
right.
It. So,
let me give you an example. For example, we've been talking about the world today. And this nature of the world, right? We all know that this is there in the Holy Quran and this is there in the riwayat. So for example, if you see a Hindu talking about this aspect of the world, but that, you know, the same kind of thing that we're talking about, then you can take and you can agree with him. And you can maybe even use his statement. Or if you see, for example, what we were talking about, taqwa, being aware of God's presence, and you hear a Christian talking about being aware of God's presence, then we know that this is compatible with what I know, with my teachings. So I can take that and use that. In that way, this is what I mean. And this is how I understand it. I mean, to my limited also ability. You're welcome.
We have time for one final question. Do the sisters have a question?
I just wanted to know if you're going to be giving a list of the ayats which you've been quoted or the surahs that you've been referring to by any chance. I didn't write them all down.
I have references here. If you want, I mean, inshallah, I can try and prepare something. Actually, thank you, reminded me, Atif, because this hadith of Unwan al-Basri, the one I've been mentioning, where the Imam gives the three pieces of advice about taqwa, where he gave three pieces of advice about self-discipline, I have brought one copy here, and if anybody wants a copy, they can request a copy, and there's a photocopy machine here, and it can be done and made ready for anyone who wishes to have this. And the reason I brought this hadith is because I mentioned the other night that Sayyid Ali Qadhi, the teacher of Allama Tabatabai and other great scholars and mystics, has advised them to keep this hadith with them and read it regularly to remind them of the important teachings and critical and vital concepts that are contained within this hadith. So I brought a copy here. We have translated it into English, and it's available for anyone who wishes to have it.
Ahsantum. Sallu ala nabi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, I take you into the heat of Ashura, where the battle has already begun and people are already coming out and fighting and giving their lives. Many companions have already gone and they have been slain in the way of Allah. But now we see one young boy, he comes out of the tent, and the narrator says that his face was like the full moon shining bright. And he went into the battle and he began to fight. But as he fought, one man, Ibn Fudayl al-Azdi, struck him on the head and split his head open. And this boy, Shah Qasim, the holy son of our second holy Imam Hassan alayhi salam, fell. And as he fell onto his face and he screamed, "Oh my uncle! Oh my uncle!" قَالَ الرَّاوِي وَخَرَجَ غُلَامٌ وَكَانَ وَجْهُهُ شُقَّةُ قَمَرٍ وَكَانَ وَجْهُهُ شُقَّةَ قَمَرٍ فَجَعَلَ يُقَاتِلُ فضربه ابن فضيل الأزدي على رأسه ففلقه فوقع الغلام لوجهه وصاح يا عمّا. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, upon hearing this cry, dashed out and rushed, as the narrator says, like an eagle flying to its prey, as a lion with a fierce manifestation. And he took his sword and struck Ibn Fudayl on his arm until his arm was detached from the elbow. And Ibn Fudayl screamed to his army. And as they began to run to help him, the horses trampled the body of Ibn Fudayl. فجل الحسين كما يجل الصقر ثم شد شدة ليث أغضبا فضرب ابن فضيل بالسيف فاتقاها بالساعد فأطنها من لدن المرفق فصاح صيحة سمعه أهل العسكر وحمل أهل الكوفة ليستنقذوه فوطأته الخيل حتى هلك Then the narrator says, as the dust cleared, I saw Hussein alayhi salam standing there at the head of his young nephew, while his legs were dangling there on the ground. And Hussein alayhi salam said, woe upon you and curse upon you those who killed you, O Qasim, for they will face the enmity of your father and your grandfather. And then Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, O Allah, by Allah, this uncle of yours was called, but he did not answer in time. He was called, maybe he answered, but it did not benefit you at all, his voice, when he came. This day, by Allah, my enemies have become great for me, and my helpers have become very few. قال الراوي وانجلت الغبرة فرأيت الحسين عليه السلام قائما قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجلي والحسين عليه السلام يقول بعدا لقوم قتلوك ومن خصمهم يوم القيامة جدك وأبوك ثم قال عز والله على عمك أن تدعوه فلا يجيبك أو يجيبك فلا ينفعك صوته هذا يوم والله كثر واتره وقل ناصره. Then Hussein alayhi salam picked up the young boy on his chest and carried him to the other bodies of the Ahlul Bayt. And he said, by Allah, Hussein, I saw Hussein, and he saw these bodies of those young ones and those beloved of his family and companions. And he went into the battle as if now desiring to go back to Allah, desiring martyrdom. And he called out, is there anyone to aid and help the sanctity of the Holy Prophet? Is there anyone, a person of Tawheed, who fears Allah? Is there anyone to help and hope in Allah to help me? Is there any aider who hopes in Allah to aid our cause? قال ولما رأى الحسين عليه السلام مصارع فتيانه وأحبته عزم على لقاء القوم بمهجته ونادى هل من ذاب يذب عن حرم رسول الله هل من موحد يخاف الله فينا هل من مغيث يرجو الله بإغاثتنا هل من معين يرجو ما عند الله في إعانتنا هل من معين يرجو ما عند الله هل من معين يرجو ما عند الله في إعانتنا السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم منا جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقينا وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأحد من زيارتنا السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته يا حسين يا حسين